You want to go at people's pace, whatever pace they're at, and then you can change slightly and they will follow you. We call that process pacing and leading. And it's a very powerful way to influence people. In fact, whenever somebody gives you an objection, if there's anything I want you to remember about handling objections, it's this. Whatever objection somebody gives you, align with the prospect. Agree, appreciate, respect, and. That's the process of what we're going to talk about, how to deal with them. So you want to make sure that you're on their side, not fighting them, not being overgrading. So if they're a little bit down, don't be down, but lay your body in a similar place. If they're slow, don't speed up. Be where they are at least to start to make the connection so they hear your message. So the speed of your movements is something to pay attention to. The way you hold your body, be like them, your posture. What else? Gestures. Hey, take a look at this. If you're having a conversation with somebody and while they're talking to you, you notice they make this funny little gesture and they say, well, I think we ought to try, you know, this thing here. If when you talk back to them, you say, well, that's a great idea. And what if we tried this thing also? You know what happens? Watch their face. It's like, oh, a friend. It's true. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous, but you're going to go out to do it tonight or today, and I want you to try it, and you watch what happens. Just mirror somebody's gestures, and watch what happens. It's all of a sudden they start liking you. They don't know why, because you are being like who? Them. And when people are like each other, they tend to like each other. It starts to make that connective bond that is what's going to allow you to influence this person long term. They got to trust you. They got to like you. They got to feel connected to you if you're going to have long term influence. And by the way, if you do a strong enough job up front connecting with people, then you're not going to have to do a hard close in the end because they're on your side. And you can say, listen, I'm not trying to push you. I'm not trying to hard close you. But you've told me you want this and this and this. And the only thing stopping you is this fear. You know, are you going to let this stop you from having what you want most in the whole world? Your closes get so much easier when you've got a real heart-to-heart connection and somebody trusts you. See, I always know when I see a guy closing hard, it's because he's never connected up front. He's not engaged the person by connecting with them. So think about other aspects. You got gestures, you got movements, you got posture, you got facial expressions. You probably already do this one, don't you? I mean, think about it. Look at my face. Somebody talks to you and they're like all animated and they're talking like this. Don't you make the same stupid look back and go, yeah, I know that. We usually do that. How about eye contact? What you want to do is have about the same amount of eye contact as they have. Now, what if you meet somebody, a prospect, who stares you in the eyes and never moves? Should you look away? No, stare right back and keep staring as long as they stare, because what will happen is it'll build rapport. They'll know you're an alien too. Right? That's the bottom line, right? What else would build rapport? Well, you can take a look around. Think for yourself. I've done enough talking. I want to stop for a second. You think. What else could you do to build rapport with your physiology? You tell me. Tell me one. Out loud.
Breathing.
Okay. You're breathing. That's a powerful one. That's great. Hey, listen. When you breathe at the same pace as another person, what happens is you feel the exact same feelings. It's pretty incredible. I mean, can you think of a situation in life where you're breathing at the same pace with another person and it created tremendous intimacy? The bottom line is breathing is powerful. The other thing that's great about breathing is it's really unique and it's very subtle. I mean, it's very rare that you'd be sitting here breathing, matching somebody's breathing. In other words, noticing how they're breathing and breathing at the same pace, where they would all of a sudden jump up and go, would you stop mirroring my breathing? That's very rare. They're not going to notice those things. It's very unique and very powerful. What else? You tell me, what else could you link up to get more rapport with somebody? Physically. Pardon me?
Facial expressions,
we just said, that's accurate. Another one would be proximity. How close do you get to somebody? See, some people in life are not comfortable unless they get about this close, right? Other people, they want some distance before it happens, right? It all depends on how that person is rigged mentally and emotionally. So we all have like a certain amount of space that we think we need. And if somebody like breaks through that little barrier, we get a little uncomfortable. Now, for some people, that barrier is about here. For some people, that barrier is way out here. How do you know which one it is? You use your sensory acuity. And this is the place that most salespeople drop out. They don't have sensory acuity. They don't have acute sensitivity for the impact that their present communication style is having on the prospect. Pay attention. And that's what you need to do here. And by the way, if what you're doing isn't working, do anything else. Change your approach. See if it works. Do you find what does work with this prospect? The point is, if you start to walk somebody and you see all of a sudden the muscles in their neck go, that's a clue, okay? Pay attention. The easiest way to do this is just notice how close people get to you. They get about a certain distance and you notice they don't get too much closer or too much further, then don't violate that distance. And unless you've got some real strong rapport. And lastly, it would be touching. And we're not limited to all these, but the last one we'll cover right now is touching. And that is, a lot of salespeople think, well, gosh, I could never touch a customer. That's a mistake. And the reason is there are people in our culture who touching for them is the single most enjoyable feeling in life, even from a stranger. They're screaming out for contact. They call it skin hunger. And what it means is that certain people, just by the right handshake or touch on the shoulder or tap or some statement with a touch, that'll build more rapport than anything you can ever say to them. You go, come on, Tony, that's because you're from California. It's not that way here. Not here, not with the CEOs. You're wrong. And working with CEOs around the country, inevitably this guy sitting behind this desk back here, who seems to be like so strong and abrasive and everything else, when he moves from behind that desk, you better pay attention. Because a lot of these guys back here would love to just be connected with. Now, I don't mean a sexual touch or even one that could be slightly interpreted if you're of the opposite sex in that way. What I mean is a friendship touch the way they give a friendship touch. So if you notice this man when he's away from his desk, how he touches his associates, how he touches his secretary in a non-sexual way, or his other business associates, if he shakes hands a certain way, or if he grabs him on the shoulder and says, hey, great job. If you say, hey, thanks a lot, and you do it the same way back, you cannot believe the amount of rapport it creates instantly, because it's like, you're like me. Instant connection. On the other hand, if you touch somebody who normally doesn't get touched, and you just assume that they're a touching person, you're in big trouble, because you're going to lose a lot of rapport. So let them initiate. Notice if when they make a point, they go, you know, that's a great idea, but, and they touch your hand, touch them right back in the same kind of way, elegantly, in the same pressure, same kind of touch. So these are some of the elements that we can use in making sure that we are mirroring people. If we mirror them long enough, an interesting dynamic happens. And that dynamic is pretty soon we get in the position where we have so much rapport that we're almost like in a loop. It's like biofeedback. It's like what they put out, you feed it back to them, and it comes back to them, and they send it out again, and now you're in this responsiveness loop. Where now, because you've gone at their pace for such a long period of time, you can make a slight change, and they will usually follow you. Now, I know this may sound ridiculous to you or like mumbo jumbo, but it is a fact. It's proven over and over again. And the best way to prove it is not to believe it, but to go do it and to try it out. And so, for example, if you're sitting down with somebody and you take a look at them and you see how they're sitting, you might say, well, Tony, what are you saying? I'm supposed to look at them and sit the way they're sitting? Turn my head the way they're turning their head? You know, bob forward when they bob forward, bob back when they bob back, pick their nose when they pick their nose? Yes. No. Okay. What I'm saying is that you want to become like them, and you can mirror lots about them. You don't have to do everything they do at the moment they do it. If all you do is mirror, let's say, their gestures and their tone of voice, you're going to have a tremendous level of personal rapport. If all you do is mirror, let's say, their facial expressions and their leg position, you're going to have a tremendous level of personal rapport. The way you sit next to a person can mean more in terms of your rapport than anything you say. So it's not difficult to do because you already do this when you're at your best. Hey, if you doubt it, you go out tonight to a singles bar and have some fun, meaning watch other people. That is, watch them when they first come together and first start to meet. If they start to build rapport, you'll see it become literally like a dance, where all of a sudden they both start tilting in the same direction. All of a sudden, they'll both start speaking in the same volume. They'll make similar facial expressions. They might jingle their feet or their arms or their hands in the same way. It literally becomes a dance. It's hysterical. And you are doing this whenever you're in rapport. The problem is this. Most people wait till they get enough words in common to finally be able to justify putting their voice and body in the same place. You want to reverse the process. You can be guaranteed rapport if all you do is mirror them. I got to tell you something. This is going to sound impossible, but for some of you, I think you'll know it's true. If you mirror someone consistently, they don't have a choice but to like you. I mean, somebody who's even upset with you. If you mirror someone consistently and you're being like they're being, you will connect with them. They will respond to you. They will be in a responsiveness loop. Now, how do you deal with somebody who's upset? Do you like get rapport with that person by doing the same things? Sometimes, absolutely. Sometimes they get upset, and you get upset right back. Now, you got to be appropriate, obviously. If it's a stranger, it may not work. But sometimes you call on the phone, somebody goes, yeah, and they'll go, hi. What that'll do is immediately it kind of interrupts their pattern. It changes their what? State. And they'll go, well, who's this? And you'll hear their voice change. And then I'll just change it back and say, this is Tony. Oh. And there's this connection. So sometimes that's appropriate. Other times somebody's upset, what I'll do is I'll align with them. I'll get rapport by being like them and being upset too. God, your company does this and this and this. I turn around and say, you know what? I hate it when people have that perception too. That's horrible. You know, if we've done that, that is something that's horrible. That has to stop. And you say, and you think it's possible that it may be something else and that may be not absolutely 100% true? No, I'm sure it's true. Okay, I'll have to check into it for us. See, align with people. Get on their side. As soon as they go to attack, come over and be with them. Don't be fighting them. Come over and be with them immediately. That's the way to deal with things. So the key element here, I guess, is to make sure that you realize that if you go at somebody's pace, you don't do everything they do, but you sit the way they sit, now what's going to happen is you're going to start feeling that connection. And if you do it for, say, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes, you go at their pace, you now can make a slight change and they will follow you. I remember the first time I used this in a situation that was real tough for me. I was in a situation and a guy who didn't want to talk with me, he had approached my company, I had a health company at the time, and sure enough, he wanted to do business with us. And my partners, Harvey and Marilyn, did not want to do business with this man. And so they used me as the person or the reason not to do it. They said, well, Tony will never go for it. So I was the scapegoat. So I decided to go meet with this guy and keep rapport because in my mind and in my partner's mind, he's a bit vindictive. So how are we going to take care of this? Well, my answer is real simple. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and mirror this guy. I can get rapport with anybody, even somebody who's mad. And so I went into his office. And you got a picture of this man's office. Very successful doctor in Beverly Hills, California. And he's got this huge power desk. You know the type I'm talking about? And he's sitting behind it, marble with the glass and the whole bit. And he's sitting behind it, he's sitting like this. So guess how I sat down? And he said, well, you must be Tony Robbins. And I said, that's right. And then he said, oh, Tony, you are in trouble. He's going to think you're mimicking him. You're wrong. See, people don't notice this stuff. If you're the kind of person that thinks people are going to notice when you're mirroring them, you're probably also the kind of person that thinks that when you're talking to people, that they're actually listening to you. That's very rare. They don't notice because, one, it is a natural process that already happens when people in rapport. Now, it is true that if, as they bring their right leg up and bring their arm over, you do the exact same thing at the exact same moment, and they tilt forward and you tilt forward, and they move back and you move back, sooner or later they're going to go, what is wrong with you? But meanwhile, back at the ranch, if you're elegant, elegant means that you do things, but sometimes you have a delay. So if, let's say they cross their legs or they cross their arms. You don't immediately do it at the same moment, maybe. Maybe you wait a second. You can do it at the same moment a few times. But maybe next time what happens is they cross their arms and you're like this and you just wait. And you say, when you go to say something, it's natural for you to change your body. Because remember, your body, changes in your body in posture and physiology, change state. And when you go to say something or answer a question, it's totally natural for your body to change, so their brain does not perceive anything as being amiss. So they cross their arms. You could cross your arms too in a moment, or you could wait. And when you go to say something, maybe you do something else, and then you say, well, okay. And you cross your arms, and now you're in connection again. That's called being elegant. But I want you to know, even if you're not elegant, you can get by with it most of the time. I mean, it's very rare somebody will stop and go, are you mirroring me? It's like, very rare. Since most people don't have any clue what it is to start with. Okay? So what happens is, I'm in this guy's office, right? And I go, yes, I am. It's Tony Robbins. So he says, well, I've been trying to reach you for 2 days, and I couldn't get a hold of you. And I said, thank you so much for your follow-through. And he's the same kind of volume, same kind of gesture, same kind of look on my face. And his brain's going, he's like you. And there's this connection that begins to happen. He doesn't even know why. And so we talk and talk and talk. After about 5 minutes, we're great friends. And the way we become friends is I begin to lead him. After about 5 minutes, I want to test how much rapport I have. So what do I do? Well, he's been talking real loud like this the whole time, so I've been talking loud like this too. He said, oh, I think we ought to try this and this and this. And I said, well, that's a good view of it. And what if we looked at it this way also? We're talking back and forth. I'm finally tired of talking like this. So what I begin to do instead of talking like this is I first of all do some of the things he's doing. And so after I've done that, I sit back slowly in my chair, and guess what he does? He sits back slowly in his chair within about 15 seconds. So then what I do, I lean forward in my chair. Guess what he does? He leans forward. I think, got him. Right? Then what happens? I drop my voice and I go, you know what? And he goes, what? And I go, no, I got him. What do I do then? I cross my right leg over my left. Guess what? He tries to do the same thing, except he's got a desk there, so he goes, thump. Right? But that doesn't stop him. He turns his chair and crosses his legs. And they go, oh, come on, Tony. Didn't he notice? Notice what? What'd you expect him to do? Say, why do I want to turn my chair at this very moment? Is someone pacing and leading me? People don't know this stuff, and it's amazing what it'll do. This can be as powerful as anything else you've learned here, and it's easy and it's fun.